Morning, everyone. Morning. You have to sing real loud. We just got a faithful few here today, but we're going to make it. Let me see. How about page 407, and let's stand, please. 407.
All the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with my living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit grows immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. What a beautiful day, Lord. Slightly cooler temperatures, Lord. The clouds, Lord. But your beautiful earth is still out there, Lord. We can see it. And we live in it. Thank you so much for it. Thanks for those that made it here today, Lord, keeping us safe the past week, Lord, all that you give us, all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for the song, Lord. Help us to live those words, Lord, to let you lead us, Lord. Let you lead our lives. Oh, what much better life it's going to be, Lord, if you will just give you the helm and let you take over, Lord. Help us to submit to you, Lord, always, to love you and to love others around us, Lord. Pastors here today, Lord. You put a message in his heart today, Lord. Guide him, direct him. Be with us, Lord, as we follow along with him in your word, Lord, that we might glean something today, Lord, that we might really get something to use in our daily Christian lives, Lord, especially as we leave here today. And Lord, I pray especially if someone needs you, Lord, in any way, they do so before they leave. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We pray for its many problems. We pray for our leaders. We just ask for your hand, Lord, in all. Help us to understand and realize, Lord, that it's your plan being worked out. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
We're
352, please. 352. Service 6 o'clock. Our book studies continue. If you don't come, you're missing out. Tuesday, July 19th, women's Bible study at 6 o'clock in the evening. Thursday, the 21st, Wilton Bible study at 6 in the evening. Saturday, the 23rd, men's Bible study here at the church. Iron sharpens iron at 9 o'clock in the morning. Personal evangelism is going to meet Tuesday on the 26th. Wednesday prayer meeting is going to be devoted to the investigation of the flag and the pledge. We will debate this issue as needed until all has been presented. Only biblical support of your position is allowed, so come prepared to present as such. Meeting will be followed with prayer. Pastor thought for the week, midsummer is a good time to evaluate fruit production and make needed improvements before the harvest. Words to live by. Pastor.
I apologize if I did not get this to you this morning, but up there on the screen, there has been numerous requests for the recordings from our 6:12 quarterly business meeting. I will be here at 4 o'clock today to run that, and we just have gotten those in the last 2 days, so I want to be sure people are aware of that. It does run just short of 2 hours.
Okay, so
thank
take
you,
note,
yep.
And I think that's it. Hey, Autumn. Can you have drama in church?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I love it. Guys, if you'll come forward, we'll take up the morning offering now. For those of you who didn't know him, Gene Rock's got shingles, so I'm just going to say a quickie for him, but we'll be thinking about him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for your church family, Lord. How we love each other, Lord, and want to build each other up. We want to hear your word today, and we want to hear our pastor preach it. We have an opportunity now to take up this offering, Lord. I ask you to be with the gift and the giver, especially Gene today, Lord. Just be with him. He was scheduled for music today, Lord, and a lot of us are a little bit disappointed, but help us, Lord, to realize these things happen. And, Lord, I know that you're going to take care of Gene and get him well again. Be with us now as we do take up this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
That Gene is struggling with the shingles today, and so we don't have special music, but be sure to pray for Gene, and all the music we have here is special. But some of you that have been around Fruitland know that occasionally I think we need to do a do-over, and the ladies that were playing the instruments, that's fine, we'll use the instruments that God gave us. But on your feet, 352, where's your hope today and trust? Amen. 352, I'll give you time to get there. Stanza one. But if you're a born-again, blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ today, you are a person of hope. And if you're not, there's a problem. But let's sing it like we have hope. So let's go on this. Here we go. My hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me, he died. For me, he lives. And everlasting life and light he freely gives. Hallelujah. Be seated, please. Sometimes I get a little riled up, folks. Anyway, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are here today, to worship him in spirit and in truth and to be edified and fed on the word and to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. His design of the church is that we are all intertwined here. We all are diverse, yet we fulfill an important role in our diversity. And that's the beauty of the local church. Let us love one another today as Christ has loved his church and gave himself for us. Anyway, good to see a nice group out this morning. I'm always excited about my walk with the Lord. Even through the valleys, just like Psalm 23 says that David penned, through the valleys and the mountain peaks, God is good and he is ever faithful. And I today, again, want to introduce to us part two of a message we began last week. The music committee this week picked My Hope is in the Lord, but it was a perfect pick because that's what we're going to talk about, the pathway ahead. And the pathway ahead that God has ordained for the believer is one of hope combined with growth. And I challenge you this morning, are you in that mode and am I in that mode? Do you want to grow in Jesus Christ? That's what he wants for us. But he grounds us with the hope that we need not worry, but just walk with him and trust him and let him lead us on the path. So with that in mind today, welcome once again. If you're visiting with us, you're really a friend. You're valued here. We're glad for everyone that comes through these doors. The most important thing, though, is what happens when we go out those doors, folks, and how we walk with Jesus and how we contact and communicate with those that we encounter. This is a place of hope, and it is a place where we can find Jesus Christ, and he is available to all because he loves mankind. Well, enough of my preaching. Oh, no, I guess that's why I'm here, right? But let's go to prayer and realize we do have several people that are traveling in our number. We have others that are not well. We certainly know that there are many people that are struggling today with the effects of the sin curse. And as I usually say, there are all kinds of things in people's lives. Some people are angry. Some people are suffering with depression and grief and sorrow. And there's some of us that are probably just kind of even keel today. We haven't tipped the scales one way or another. But let's pray today that God will cause us to trip that scale over to the joy side and the excitement side for what lies ahead. So let's go to prayer and we'll hit the ground running. Father, thank you once again. Lord, we studied this morning in our junior, senior high class how you show yourself to man, and you showed us again today, Lord, in all your splendor. It's not just your creation, but it's all the things about you, the intricacy of your design, the human body. Lord, all the things that just point to you, but mostly today, Lord, it's your grace and mercy. The truth of it is, Lord, we ought to be reminded every day that we ought to be toast. Every one of us ought to be looking to a future of eternity in hell because we transgressed against your will, Lord, disobeyed our first ancestors, Adam and Eve. And yet, Lord, right there in the Garden of Eden, your mercy and grace, your benevolence was shown toward mankind. You shed the blood of an innocent animal as a substitutionary atonement when you made those coverings for Adam and Eve. That was the first sin they recognized, that they were naked before you, O Lord. And you covered them. Now I thank you today, Lord, for this whole account of how you've worked with man. And I pray today that your time of working is not finished yet with any of us here at Fruitland, or anyone else for that matter, but this would be a day when we would bow before you in worship, bow our lives to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and allow you to take over, Lord, to take it out of our responsibility in the pilot seat and let you, the ultimate pilot with a capital P, take over for the rest of the journey. Now, I pray today that you'll fill us with hope. Lord, I also hope that you'll give us, Lord, and pray that you'll give us a desire for the future. Even though from the earthly perspective, many things seem bleak, but from your perspective, Lord, they're going to be very exciting. I pray for one or more that could be here today, Lord, that have never come to understand that you want to have a personal relationship with all humanity. And it's simply brought to be by placing our faith and trust in you, believing in who you are, and accepting, Lord, the gift of love of your Son, Jesus Christ, and acknowledging our sin. Lord, that is the key to being born again and to having new life, life eternal, with you for all time. Now, Lord, thanks again for everyone that's come out today. We realize there are people that are struggling with illnesses. We lift Gene Rock before you. Lord, we also understand that as we know, when any group of sinners gathers, even redeemed sinners, there are difficulties, there are rough edges. Lord, file us today. Get out the file, and if need be, the chisels to work on all of our hearts. But, Lord, I pray for those that may be angry this morning, bitter, Lord, others that physically are ill, depressed, all the human experiences, Lord, that we encounter, you have the answers and the help for. So I pray today, Lord, that you'll honor those desires of the heart this morning. Now I pray, Lord, you'll bless the preaching, and the old preacher here is the real problem. And so, Lord, you know that already, and this is only accomplished by your help and by your spirit that flows, Lord, from the book here as I bring this out to this group. Lord, remember, and I remember this too, I'm not here to please everyone. I'm here to proclaim your word accurately. Please help me, Lord, to do that. And we love you, and we want to tell you that in advance. And thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning, folks, our text will be in Romans chapter 8 once again, as we attempt at least to conclude this wonderful revealment of God to us and for his desire to see us in a personal walk with Him and to enjoy what we're going through. I think a few weeks ago I illustrated that if you talk to most people, you hear much more complaints than you do praises. And that people in general are not enjoying their lives. But let me just assure you this, even here in our United States of America, there have been times that have been much worse than the ones that we live in today throughout this world. We have much to be thankful for, and we have every reason to be positive, once again, in our walk with Jesus Christ. And so as I've illustrated previously, and I don't want to rehash this entire message, but I'll give you the first point that we covered last week. But my question for us this morning is, where do I or we go from here? And understand this today, the Christian experience should be one of growth. It is not always a trajectory that goes up like this, because it does have ups and downs. But you know, if we were to graph our Christian experience, the key, and I encourage us to test this and to look at it in our lives, even to draw out a sheet of paper and graph your history with God. But the key thing there is that the trend line of that graph should be what? It should be upward. And nothing goes up totally all the time, but, you know, the trend line should be up. So I ask us this morning, where are you going to go from here? Well, because of the hope combined with growth that God has offered to us and that the Apostle Paul illustrates to us in just one place here this morning in Romans 8, I believe it is possible that all of our graphs can turn upward and that they can go that way till the day we enter into heaven. And I'll tell you what, heaven, I believe, is going to be graphed like this. It's a never-ending up. We'll never understand the depths of the glory of God and what He has prepared for us. So I want to encourage us with that this morning. Now, last week, and the Spirit led me to this message, but last week we looked at the first point of this, hope for the future because of our deliverance in Christ. We have no hope. The Bible says the lost are with hope, without hope and God. But if you're here as a redeemed sinner, and by the way, you can be today, it's simply by receiving, by asking and believing. You can be born again. You can place your faith and trust in Christ to have your sins forgiven and washed in His blood. He offers it to everyone. But He offers that deliverance, and He shows it through the transforming power of the Spirit of God. That's the key to what Paul is writing about in this text that we looked at. I wrote and expounded this last week. Hope is that promise of better things and life that lie ahead for the believer, promised by the Spirit that lives in us versus the certainty of death, including eternal death, that comes with the things of the flesh. There is no question that the Bible and the authors of it, who God divinely inspired, want us to walk away from the flesh and walk in the Spirit. And we will not fulfill, the Bible says, the lusts of the flesh. Lord, help me as I struggle with the flesh. Flesh is many things. It's an intercedence on what God has. But verse 25 is where I ended up last week, and this is what I want to say before we go into our point for today. What Paul writes in verse 25 is this. He says, "But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." If your graph isn't straight up this morning, keep waiting on Jesus. Keep working towards Jesus. Keep faithful in the hope that He has declared and growing in Him through what He offers. I summed up last week's message at the end with hang on wherever you're at today, because the best is yet to come. I think that's a good way to look at any of our situations today. Don't give up. Hang on. The best is yet to come. So that brings us to point two and the final point of this message. However, I have quite a bit here to deliver this morning. And this is the second point of our message. Hope in our help for growth. I have mentioned a little bit this morning that we have a helper. In the Greek, it's the word parakletos, one who comes alongside. As I age this week, I struggle with some machinery issues as I harvested the wheat and so forth down here. Not big ones, But I said so many times, Woody, you can identify with this. If I only had a third hand. Some of you know what I mean. Or I even said, if I only had someone to help me. How many of you can identify with that? Well, let me tell you something today, folks, from the Word of God. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, you have the power of the Holy Spirit living within you. The Parakletos, the one who comes alongside, he's our helper. You are not alone in this struggle, in this journey that you're on. We have a helper within us if we'll what? If we'll let him operate within us, folks. If we'll let the power of the Spirit be overcome, or the power of the flesh become... Now help me here, Lord. The power of the flesh become overcome by the power of the Spirit. Thank you. By the way, as I get more aged and things get complicated in my life, I have a lot of trouble with memory issues today and getting things said the way that they ought to be said. I need help. Kim's been a good helper too. By the way, you know the Bible says our wives, for guys here today, if you're married, they're our helpmeet. They're the ones that fill and complement our weak places. I see some smiles among people here today. Anyway, hope in our help for growth in Christ through the Spirit. See, if we'll allow the Spirit to speak to our hearts, we'll be on that trajectory. And if we don't quench what he has for us. So let's begin this morning. The first little point here about this is found in verses 26 through 28 of Romans chapter 8. By the way, Romans chapter 8, along with some others, is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Because it's a chapter of hope. And I like that. So here's what Paul writes in verse 26. He says, likewise the Spirit also helps us with our what? I can admit to you today, I'm infirm. I'm getting more of a belly. My muscles are weaker. Grand, I'm joking with you folks. Lighten up a little bit. The grandson from Chicago, every day when he's been with us, I said, let me check him out. And I'll tell you, that kid is built solid. He could really be strong, like I used to be. Well, I was never like that, but infirmities. As we get older, we're not where we should be, are we, in the physical sense? We become more susceptible to illnesses and ailments, broken bones, you name it. We get weak, you know. But let me just assure us, folks, in the flesh, we're weak anyway. We're infirm. Technically, we're sick on sin. Some sickness is totally connected to actual sin, but sickness in and of itself is a result of the sin-cursed, broken world. All of our troubles point back to sin and the fall of man. But God has not left us helpless or hopeless. He sent the Spirit for the believer. And you can have him today too if you'll believe in Jesus Christ. If you are not here today, if you'll put your faith and trust in him. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Paul's even bringing it right down here to our prayer life. If we only knew how deficient our prayer life is before God. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. You know, I had a question here during the week from a person that wondered about, you know, what if man theoretically could not sin, or what about good people? I mentioned this not too many weeks ago, but there, even if we never committed an actual sin, we're still sinful in our makeup. Before God, we're deficient, we're lost, and we don't know how to pray. But thankfully, we have help because our prayers have been covered for us at the throne of God. You see, what God hears when He hears our prayers that have been interceded for on our behalf. Here's what Paul writes. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We have a twofold helper, and one that gives us hope before the throne of Almighty God. We have the Holy Spirit that groans for us with utterings that cannot, or with groanings which cannot be uttered. But you know what else, folks? We got a good lawyer on our side on our case. It's called an advocate in the Bible. Jesus Christ is our lawyer. If you're born again today, Jesus is also there before the throne of God, because you know what's going on today in heaven? Satan is there to accuse you before God Almighty. He's telling the truth about us. We're wrong. But you know what Jesus says? He's the old defense attorney that pops up. He says, you know what? My blood covers it. They're no longer guilty. And the Father says, I'm going to give them the pass. And that's what the hope is there, folks. And Paul's talking about that. Verse 27, how far was he going? Through 28 here to begin with. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. By the way, it's God who searches the hearts. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit knows what we need and does it, even though we don't. Because he has the mind of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. By the way, I'm not talking all this stuff here to hear amens and hallelujahs. I'm talking this stuff here because we ought to be excited about our faith. And then verse 28. Can we quote it together? This is a key verse in Scripture. For wherever we're at today, because God is on our side. If you're one of his children. And we know that all things work together for, let me hear it, good. To them that love God, to those that are the called according to his purpose. I don't see negative here, do you? With God, all things are possible, and he has them under his care. The point there with those three verses is that God remedies our deficiencies through the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then, folks, you see, this is like something I like cake. I have not gone on a big diet, and I need to. But Kim has been reminding me daily, you ought to be a little more careful with the cookies. And even yesterday, she refused to have any dessert items. I admit to you, I like a little cake once in a while. Anyone else like that? Or a piece of pie? Brenda, there's been times I'm ready for some of that broccoli and cheese soup again, too. I got foundered on that at your house one time. Yeah, I have some problems with that. It's really not something to laugh about. It's sin. It's gluttony. But, you know, a cake, just a regular cake, isn't quite as good as one that's frosted with chocolate frosting. And I'll tell you what, Kim can make some fantastic cakes. It's the stuff in between the frosting and all the rest of it. You know, I want the good stuff. But that's the same way with God wants to give you the frosting. God wants to give you the frosting. You can have your cake and eat it too. If we'll acknowledge the Lord for who he is. See? And understand this. And here's the thing, folks, 29 and 30, the awesomeness of our salvation. Do you believe your salvation is awesome today? And God's offer of salvation is awesome. You and I, if we were God, we would have thrown the whole thing in the tank and started over. But God didn't do that, did he? Here it is. This is big stuff. This is deep theology, but we can comprehend it to the extent of this, that we are special to God. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. You know something? If you are born again here today, it wasn't something you accidentally walked into one day and just accepted Christ. It was planned before the foundation of the world. God marked out in advance. He knew it forever who would be saved and who would not be. He did foreknow, he also did predestinate, meaning you could not have not been saved. Yes, you theoretically had that choice, but if God called you to be saved, you will be saved. And these are hard things to understand, but he did predestinate us or predetermined us. The Greek word there is progenosko. Some of you that have worked with cattle, Phil, I'll pick on you a little bit. EPDs, you ever heard about that in the cattle? Expected progeny differences, right? Am I correct on that yet? Some of you other agriculturally. You can know about what's going to come from your cattle by the bloodlines that go into them. Okay? You can know because of God's foreordination that you were called as his child. Blow me away. Can you believe that? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. If you're saved here this morning, God called you one day to salvation. If he's calling you right now to be saved, this is the day. You still have that choice, but it's called the doctrine of irresistible grace. If God calls you, you will go. Yep. And whom he called, he also justified. I just said earlier, we're not righteous before a holy God, but when we have accepted the call of Jesus Christ, he declares us righteous. That's the word justification. Even though we're a bunch of lousy sinners and bums, when Christ's blood was applied to that lousiness, we've had the righteousness of God imputed to us. Now, that's nothing for us to bust our buttons about pride about, but that's something to be thankful to God that he said, they get the pass because my righteousness has been given to them. I died for that person on Calvary's cross and shed my blood. And then the last part of this frosting on the cake here, is it possible to split cakes? I've been around, Kim, like in sections where you could put more frosting, like if you put them in six and have it, is that possible? It is. Maybe we could investigate some of those types of treats. But he didn't just do that. He also, it says here in this verse, he glorified us. We learned this morning, J. Don, where is J. Don? There he is back there. What happened when old Moses went up to, Moses asked God, I want to know you better. And God says, I'll show you myself. Remember what happened? He couldn't. He got to see the hinder parts of God, the scriptures record, but when he came down off the mountain, he had to put a veil over his face because the people, they couldn't see him either because he'd been shown who God was because his face shone with glory. Glory is one of the hardest words to describe in the English or any language for that matter, but it's the brilliance of God. We will shine like Moses' face did, because God has shown himself to us. We will be in God's courts and in his kingdoms, and we will experience his glory. What a thing that will be that we have in our future. Hallelujah. Well, the awesomeness of our salvation. Foreordained, Greek, progenosko, the planned progeny of God, incomprehensible to us. You can't figure it out, but all you can say is, it's wonderful, God. Thank you. Predestination, predetermined to be a son in the stead of Christ and participate in the resurrection. Jesus was the firstborn here, it says, the first prototype of the resurrection. You think that's going to be something too, isn't it? We all wonder about that. What will death be like, but what's the resurrection going to be like? I don't know about you, but I have more aches and pains every day. And I'm reminded, death is coming, but so is the resurrection. Yes. Called, It's a personal call. By the way, God doesn't make mistakes. He never gets wrong numbers. I got in a lot of trouble one time here at Fruitland when I played the phone call from God. Kim, why are you giving me a raise of the eyes there? You've never heard that before, have you? I can't even remember who. What's that? But sir, remember he was off fishing that day and God called him. And you look it up sometime. I may play it again, but that'd probably be my last Sunday. Justified, declared righteous by Christ, substitutionary atonement, and glorified, selectively placed among God's glorious creation. Wow. The ultimate motivation to grow in Christ. I want more of this, just like the cake. I want all I can get. Now we got to wrap this up. We won't fight the clock anymore in heaven either. There won't be a clock. You might debate that. I don't think there will be. You can read about that, but we'll not be bound by the clock. Because we're off the grid. We're on God's timeline. No end, no beginning. Well, Paul here is like a good attorney. So we'll sum it up quickly here today. Paul's listing out all these wonderful things, and he's telling us you can trust God. And there's good stuff coming. And I'm here to help you. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Answer? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God gave his precious son Jesus. He gave everything for us. You think he was going to send him as his personal treasure to die for us and then abandon us? Dave, no. That's right. If you were to take this to a court of law, Jesus Christ would be proven in God's work in man's life. Even in a crooked court like we have in America, this can't be refuted. You see, it isn't that God just said these things. He did these things. Proof. Proof is what it takes to win a trial. Because otherwise the evidence is what? Circumstantial. It does not have validity. What Jesus did, what God did through his son Jesus is valid. Prove it differently. You can't. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Bible answers that, doesn't it? It is God that justifieth. God's the judge. And he's made us free. There's no one going to lay any charge to you that's covered under Christ's blood. Not at least in the eternal sense. You may sin. There may be consequences this side of eternity. But you are not going to be judged for eternity for sins that are under the blood. Amen. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh. As I mentioned earlier, he and the Holy Spirit, well, he in particular is pleading our case as our attorney. The Holy Spirit is praying and completing our prayers that we can't get prayed right. Jesus is intervening on our behalf in the court. By the way, I like his rates. Maybe I have gone to an attorney once. I hope John Eichelberg, well, I hope he is listening to this, but I think I've had an attorney or two that did me a favor on something that was not of personal gain. But Jesus does this for us, no charge. 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul lists the possibilities here. I believe he hits them all if you want to explore them. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, it is written, this is Psalm 44:22, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Is that the only... I know this cord's going to get me eventually. I just caught my thumb in it. Every time I sit down up here to sing, Larry sees it, the cord. Well, it's because I need to lose some inches in a certain area. It wants to rip this headset off me every time. Now, where was I at here? Are we here just as pawns? Not under Jesus Christ, you're not. And Paul answers this right here for us. He says, no. In all these things that we experience, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. We're not defeated. We're people of hope. And if we're not, we can be. We're people that ought to be growing in Christ. We're people that ought to be taking these things to heart and saying, hallelujah, Jesus, every day, thank you. And you know what? Pastor John's not in that mode all the time, and neither are you, likely. But we sure ought to be, shouldn't we? And you might say, well, give me more arguments, Pastor John. Open the book. It's filled. This is just one chapter. Well, we better wrap it up. Paul says this, for I am persuaded. Persuaded is another word for convinced. Like in a court again, the lawyer's bringing this out here. A jury must be convinced to be able to convict. Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or creation, anything. Paul's list here is what? All-inclusive, isn't it? As I said earlier, you can investigate all these things. Any fear that you have will be grounded in those things. But what Paul is saying, what? I'm convinced, I'm persuaded. And even on top of that, in 39, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank you for adding that, because that's what I have written in my Bible. Amen! With several exclamation points. This is joy, folks, today. This is hope for the believer. This is hope for the pathway in the future of growth. You just watch Jesus work in your life. You just watch Jesus work in the things that you yield to Him with and place your trust in Him and your hope in Him. Many times we face bleak things, but let me tell you, the game's not over till Jesus says it is. Leave here today with hope. Leave here today with Jesus if you don't have Him. And you will have received hope. Well, for a beginning, there's got to be a conclusion. We can trust Him, right? We can trust Him. And I'm going to read the same conclusion here that I gave last week. But folks, I want to say again, there's more arguments for God's help as we grow in our faith with Him and toward Him. We are headed to ultimate victory. In conclusion, hope combined with growth is the path the Lord has set for His children. Three things to consider today. As I mentioned last Sunday, if you are truly on the path, stay on it and enjoy and grow. I can't read my writing. More. It's a good question to ask, isn't it? Have you ever slipped off the path? I have. Sometimes my walk and relationship with Christ goes cold, but today, folks, we can be re-convinced and re-energized. There is a purpose in our walk with Jesus. Number two, If you have or are wavering, get reconnected because of the hope and help offered to you. If you need help, get it. It's there. Jesus' hand is out to help you up. Take the help. I can't mention names this week, but I talked to someone, talked to me about an incident, and I recalled something my dad told me years ago. Aunt Louise and Uncle Cleon were missionaries in Africa, Swaziland, South Africa, team missions. And they're long departed, so I can share this, and it's nothing that's not the truth, but for many years they were on the mission field, and I mowed their ground, their grass and things at their place. And they were pretty... Well, after about 6 years of mowing, a check came from South Africa one day to me for $25. And I said to my dad, I think I'm just going to give it back to him. And my dad said, take it! If you need help today, take it from Jesus. Take it. He said, you may not get another one. And then the third point. If you have never considered Jesus as your pathway, come to Him if He is calling you. We heard about that this morning. Trust His promises for and to you. Be saved, be born again into His family, into new life, and a life of hope. Jesus proved Himself today. And it's written here in Scripture for our benefit. The clock says 22 till. It's time to be done. But Jesus is not done today with any of us, if we'll let Him. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. Stand if you're able. 396, and it's on the screen too. We're going to sting, even though I heard some people got stung here in the last week. We're going to sing, Lord willing, the first and the third stanzas. But I want to ask you today, you know, I could do like some of the pastors, and we have, and I've done that sometimes, heads bowed, eyes closed, raising hand thing, but you and all, I all know where we're at with Christ today. But I'm going to ask you this question. Are you going to experience those promises that are given in Romans 8 by eternity in heaven, when the roll's called in heaven? Are you going to be there? I'm going to tell you what, that's one thing you better not miss out on. Search your souls. Search my soul this morning. Are we ready to meet Jesus? Will you be there when the roll is called up yonder? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, and the sage of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. If there's someone that's unsure this morning before we sing that last stanza, set it straight with the Lord today. If you need some counsel about that, there's several people here. I'm willing to help you. I don't need to talk to everyone as I go out the door. We need to talk to Jesus. But be sure you're on the roll, the manifest that says, I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ. Stanza 3. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk about His wondrous love and care. When life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Hallelujah. We have great things to come. Don't miss the train. I'm going to ask this morning that Lonnie would close us in prayer. May the Lord bless you today. If you have a need, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to serve Jesus Christ and to serve His people. So we'll look forward to meeting you at the door. Lonnie?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the Holy Spirit working in him today, bringing out that message, Lord, that old-fashioned message of salvation was there again today, Lord. Our precious God that we love, our Savior, Lord. Lord, no greater time it is right now than to want to come to you. Lord, if someone needs you today, may they do so before they leave. Your coming is near. Lord, we know it. We can feel it. Be with us, Lord. Help us as we go about our ways. In Jesus' name.